welcome to the Pickup WNBA podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Eicher.
And I'm your host, Freddie Rivas.
And this is episode 39.
That's right. This is episode 39.
It has aged us.
It has aged us.
It has surpassed us in age.
Yeah. In a good way.
In a good way. It's like dog years, but podcast years.
Yeah. It hasn't made us feel older.
No, not at all.
It's outlived us.
Not at all. I gotta tell everyone, I'm going through a bit of a situation this morning. Yep. My coffee machine is broken. I'm very emotional about my coffee machine. Her name's Bertha. She's not a coffee machine. She's an espresso machine. Bought her during the pandemic because I used to be a go to work every day, buy myself my latte kind of person. And then I was like, I can't do this mediocre coffee thing.
Sure.
I got to bring this home. I got to start making lattes here. Yeah. Started making lattes, became an at-home barista.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's broken down and I don't know what's happening. I've been emotional about it. I got my period today. I was telling Freddie all about it.
Yep. Not that he'll heard about
to
it.
Hear about it. Not I was telling supportive. Freddie all about it. It's 9 days early. It's been 9 days early for the past several months now. I've been getting it every 3 weeks instead of 4 weeks. And I didn't need this to happen the day my beautiful Bertha decides to break down. So we're going through it right now, everyone. I have McDonald's on the way. People are going to be like, why are you recording? Look, we are very busy people. This is our time to record. If it didn't happen right now, would it happen?
That's right.
So my McDonald's is coming in 10 minutes. I'm going to feel better once that happens, but we'll see if it's 10 minutes or not, because it's like literally snowing right now here in Toronto. It could easily more than that.
It's the beginning of a snowstorm here. Also, there's a storm in Catherine's apartment. a lot's going on.
Down
coffee machine, a sped up cycle. Also, I don't want to add to it, but minor thing, but big thing too. It's not episode 39. It is episode 40.
Oh,
that's right.
So
we are 40 years old. We are middle-aged.
Officially. Well, I feel middle-aged. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, feels about right.
Oh my God. I actually don't feel middle-aged at all. I still feel like a child in many ways. I feel like but I think that's just more to do with my lifestyle. Like I'm still out at night all the time, mainly because of stand-up comedy, but you know what I mean? Like I only just in the last few months started to feel like, oh, I don't actually feel like being out all the time. But that like just started happening for me.
Yeah, I feel like really immature, but my body's aging.
Yes.
Know? So it's like, oh, weird. I can't run for a bus, but like I can make like immature jokes.
Yeah. So. Like my body's telling me.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I met the love of my life and now we're going to have babies and now I'm going to be homeborn. No, it's like a very different trajectory for me. Okay. Madness. Absolute madness here this morning. So much going on in the NBA or the NBA, the WNBA. I know what podcast I'm on right now.
Yeah.
This is wild. Everyone, please keep listening. I promise you we will have our shit together this episode. There's so much going on. We're going to get into all the Jonquel Jones stuff, everything that's going on with Stewie, her tweets, her announcing how she wants to subsidize chartered flights and everything. But, Freddie, we got a date for our game in Toronto. It's going to be May 13th, and it's the Chicago Sky versus the Minnesota Lynx.
Let's fucking go. You know what I mean?
Yes.
This is so huge. I mean, I'm going to make sure I tweet this out. Not that I have some kind of massive platform, but you know, when we get closer to the event. But for anyone that's not from Toronto or in Toronto or aware of the like Toronto media landscape, for the longest time, people have been saying that we need a WNBA team. We deserve a WNBA team, which I totally agree with. But this is our opportunity. And I hope that every single person who has expressed that sentiment is ready to pay for tickets, ready to show up, mm-hmm. and ready to go wild for a preseason game. This is the audition, and we have to knock it out of the park.
I completely agree. This is absolutely our audition. I was complaining. I've complained on this podcast about it too. So I, you know, similar complaints multiple times, complaining about the same thing. People who want a WNBA team, they wear the orange hoodie and then they don't watch the games. And it's mm-hmm. very infuriating. It's very performative. So we need all of these people to show up. I mean, obviously people who listen to this podcast, they care, they're engaged,
yeah.
right? So, you know, we'll probably see a lot of you there, which is very exciting. Freddie and I are attempting to get media credentials for the game. We don't know if we'll be able to pull it off or not, but we're certainly trying.
Yeah. And if you know someone powerful, let us know. We want to be there. We want to talk to people.
We lack nepotism. Help us.
Yes, we are not Nepo babies.
We are not Nepo babies of any kind. So, you know, we're trying. We are very much trying. If we aren't able to pull that off, then I imagine we'll still get tickets and just go as fans just to experience it. But yeah, we're working on that. So fingers crossed. And yeah, it would be such an honor to be able to deliver this game to you in that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't necessarily know like what I would ask the players and stuff like that, but you know, we have tons of time to figure that out. May is a big month for me. I'm seeing Janet Jackson in concert that month.
Wow.
I paid for the meet and greet. So I'm going to get to meet Janet Jackson. That's it's like, time. It's huge. It cost me a lot of money. So
and we all know Janet Jackson is from what state?
She's from Indiana.
Yep.
That's Fever. Gary, Indiana.
We're going to, Catherine, make sure to say that once an episode. You better know where the Jacksons are from if you listen to this pod.
I'm a ridiculous human being, I know.
And I'd be that person, be like, everyone's interviewing the players. Let me talk to Cheryl Reeve. You know what I mean? Let me be like, how are you doing post fouls? What's going on with the rebuild? Talk to me about Prince's affiliation with the team. You know?
Yeah, that's a great question. I definitely hope we both get to go too, because there's a scenario where maybe it's only one of us, and that makes me very sad. So
It would be sad. We need to be there together. But if it's only one of us, you know, I've said this before, but I feel like, Catherine, it should be you. It shouldn't be aww. Like, you know, it shouldn't be like, okay, there's one person. Well, I guess the man's got to go. I feel like that's a bad move, but I hope that we can both go.
Listen, if my coffee machine breaks down and I get my period again, you'll have to sub in for me.
Sub in. I'd be like, listen,
if I have a morning like this,
hey, you're not Catherine. I'm not, but let's just say the cycles are moving too fast, so I'm here today. But man, this is huge. Like, you know, Engelbert has basically all but said this is an explicit audition. It's a market test as well. They it's a big deal that it's in Scotiabank. They want you know, those almost 20,000 seats full.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, obviously, you know, there's Canadian players involved with the game from both squads. Regionally, they're close, Minnesota and Chicago, like, you know, to a certain degree. But yeah, this is a huge, huge deal. And I mean, it's awesome to be doing this podcast, and I feel like in a way be rewarded with this. Like, I'm just really, really excited. I hope it's a prelude to more basketball in Canada, more basketball in Toronto. Engelbert also said that the Canadian viewership has been going up and up and up, and there's roughly 5 million W viewers in Canada now, which is awesome.
5 million?
Yeah, apparently that's what she said. And you know, we're a country of less than 40 million people, so we're like 39. So yeah, it's a pretty big chunk of the population that's watching the W.
Yeah, I'm like, I almost don't even believe it. Are we sure?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I can now I'm unsure. Because you brought it up. That doesn't, yeah, you know what? Like, listen, I'm gonna double check that. Hopefully I'm not, it's like, what should be like 5,000?
By the way, my McDonald's is still 10 minutes away. So we predicted that
10 minutes away from being 10 minutes away. How dare you, McDonald's?
Okay. Well, while we check that, I'm going to introduce, our next story. Is that cool, sure. Freddie?
Yeah.
So yeah, we got to talk about this De'Erica Hamby situation. She's claiming the Aces bullied and manipulated her after the team learned she was pregnant. So here's what's happening. She's been traded to the Sparks. And what, you know, people are definitely shocked by this trade. She's been with the Aces ever since it was, you know, part of San Antonio. So she's been there her entire career. And she thinks this is discrimination, that she is being traded because she's pregnant. And so the WNBA is now, the Players Association or Players Union, to be clear, is launching an investigation to ensure that this wasn't discrimination and that this was, you know, quote unquote, just part of the business. Yeah, so she had agreed to a 2-year contract extension with Vegas in June, and I guess there's some discrepancy over whether or not they knew she was pregnant during the signing. Hamby says that they did know. This article I'm reading in CBS News is definitely from Hamby's side. She's the one being interviewed. She's the one being quoted. The Las Vegas Aces have not yet, according to this article, made any statements about the situation as of this recording. So very interesting. You know, she did announce to fans that she was pregnant during their championship parade.
So, yeah, it was a big moment.
Yeah, huge moment. Legend. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And so, yeah, this has definitely took a turn. You know, it's just sad. Like, I feel for De'Erica a lot. I mean, we all know it's hard to be traded. It's always sad to see a fan favorite go to, you know, another scenario. And I would consider her a fan favorite of the Aces franchise.
For sure.
You know, she won six man of the year with them for a few years. I think it was like back to back, like 2 years in a row. And yeah, she's obviously shocked and sad to be leaving, but this element of, you know, possible discrimination is definitely concerning.
Yeah, these are very, very serious allegations. You know, I think for us covering this league, this is I don't remember allegations this specific, you know, especially when it comes to what has been bargained for already. So I think the league and the process of them looking into it is going to be something that's fascinating. And the Aces are going to have to respond. And I really hope that the investigation is very transparent, you know, even from, you know, like a learning aspect, because I know if you're, you know, applying for a job, like a lot of, like, there's a lot of labor, you know, agreements, at least in Canada, sort of thing, where you're not allowed to ask someone if they're getting pregnant, if they intend to get pregnant, that sort of thing. It is, it's discrimination, right? So, you know, you can't, yeah, like, it's...
Well, I hate the whole, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I'm starting to meander a bit, so go for it.
I hate the whole, like, oh, it's unclear if they knew or didn't know if she was pregnant.
Yeah,
it's
that, like, shouldn't matter.
That shouldn't matter. She's allowed to be pregnant. You know,
that's
what,
right.
I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it that, like, oh, well, we just signed a 2-year deal with her and now she's having a child. And it's like, that's in her right to do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's just within her rights. So that kind of bugs me.
Well, and just reading this quote, Hamby wrote, I was told that I was a question mark, and that it was said that I said I would get pregnant again, and there was a concern for my level of commitment to the team. So yeah, those two things, like, it's very, for lack of a better word, very uncool to conflate those two things. That's absolutely not the truth of a scenario. You're not uncommitted to your team because you're deciding to bear a child. And yeah, I mean, it's already so difficult for players to time out their pregnancies, get back into, you know, athletic form, all that kind of stuff. So for then there to also be this, like, this added hoop, this added wrinkle for a player to, you know, be traded or dealt or dismissed is bad. And, you know, I think, like, kind of bigger picture from Hamby, it's like, you don't want to discourage players from having kids, right? So
no, that's
or getting pregnant, right? So like this definitely needs to be dealt with, just repeating myself, but in a transparent, responsible way.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, one of the difficult things, or one of the many difficult things with this, is that it's really hard to prove. And people who do have discriminatory tactics do things in a covert way deliberately, so it is hard to prove. So I'm not saying that, you know, whether the ACEs have or haven't discriminated against her, we just don't have enough information to say as of right now. Mm-hmm. But I know, based on my own experience, so obviously, like, I haven't been pregnant or anything, but, like, I used to work for a company, and I found out that a guy who had the exact same position as me, who started the same time I started, got a raise and I didn't. And also, like, I wasn't made, like, permanent at the company. Like, they kept putting me on contracts, and I was on contracts for over 2 years, which meant they couldn't pay me vacation days or sick mm-hmm. days. And I knew that wasn't even legal. Like, you can't do that to someone for over 2 years straight and stuff like that. And then I tried to talk to my boss about it. And I was like, listen, like, I deserve, like, a fair deal here, blah, blah, blah. And then I got let go. I got laid off for trying to defend myself. And there's no, like, I can't prove, like, it was discrimination. But deep down, like, I know it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's often how these things happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is like a larger sort of conversation, but, like, part of what always frustrates me about this idea of, like, you know, overly sensitive society and cancel culture is, like, what you're describing is, like, mm-hmm. the real cancel culture. Right. Is that, to me, is sort of what, like, people's jobs, you know, being on the line and being discriminated against in a way that you can't exactly prove, but you know, that's substantial and that's real. Mm-hmm. And A, I'm sorry that happened to you. B, I think that, you know, it's good for you to share that, because this is something that a lot of women go through, a lot of POCs go through. And it's something that, yeah, isn't exactly hard or easy to prove. And it's sort of in this weird gray area of, like, corporate bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, that's often, oh my God, it's here. It's here.
Huge.
Sorry, I just buzzed in my McDonald's.
No, that was the most relieving beep I've heard in a long time. I love how we're in this really serious moment and you're like, oh my God, it's here.
Honestly, it felt like New Year's. Like, it just felt like I just screamed out Happy New Year.
We're ringing in the New Year's with an iced coffee, baby.
Such a mess today. Oh my God. I mean, look, like, I just want to say, I, you know, I wish nothing but De'Erica Hamby the best. Yes. I'm not sure exactly when she's due exactly, but she did say she does plan to play at some point this coming season. So, you know, she's with the Sparks. I definitely look forward to her return. I feel like, you know, free agency is February 1st. We're recording this January 25th. Hard to know exactly where the Sparks are going to go, like, what direction they're going to go in terms of, like, are they going to retain their talent? Are they going to be signing any additional new talent? You know, I'm not sure if they're up for a rebuild or not as of right now, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we're going to get to this later, but Kurt Miller is you know, it's a really big deal that he has went to the Sparks, and it seemed at first like it was like a total you know, rebuild scenario. Like, why is Kurt Miller going to the Sparks, you know, after just being in the championship? And yeah, I don't want to.
You mean the finals?
Yeah, sorry, the finals. You know, like, why is he leaving the Sun? And it was sort of like, okay, I guess like you know are getting paid more, and maybe that was the end of the story. But I'm starting to think with Hamby and, you know, sort of the idea around what's going on with the Spark, like maybe they have bigger ambitions this year than we originally realized. And conversely, and again, I don't want to totally jump subjects, but I think with what's going on with the Sun right now, that's a really like kind of like big deal as far as a directional change. So yeah, you know, a lot's going to happen in the next couple weeks, but I'm changing my mind a little bit on the Sparks. So, like, you know, I feel like they're not a team that's interested in tanking. So
yeah, they're up to something for sure.
Yeah, they're up to something. You know, too long don't read. The Sparks are up to something. And I think, yeah, I guess as are the Sun.
Well, I feel like, okay, first of all, my McDonald's arrived. I'm so thrilled. Yeah. I got an iced coffee because I'm a psycho. And it came with a Christmas cup.
Huge.
I didn't even know we had Christmas, like, iced coffee cups here in Canada.
Wow.
But we do. And there's a reason they still have them, because no one's ordering an iced coffee.
Iced coffee in a snowstorm. Let's go.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. As we've established, I think the Sun are leaning towards a rebuild.
I mean, yeah, I would say they are like that. That was. You know,
Do you want to jump into talking about Jonquel Jones?
Let's do it. I feel like we're teetering, so let's just go for it.
So huge blockbuster trade. It was a three-team trade between. sorry. The New York Liberty, Connecticut Sun, and the Dallas Wings. I'm sorry. The reason why I'm laughing is. This article says New York gets, Connecticut gets, Dallas gets, and I read that as Jets for a second. So I read New York Jets.
You're like, New York Jets? How are they involved in all this?
I was like, what is happening? Anyway, it was a multi-team, multiplayer deal that, you know, and the big part of this here, I can read out exactly what happened.
Sure.
So New York has Jonquel Jones from Connecticut and Kayla Thornton from Dallas. Connecticut has Rebecca Allen, the number 6 pick in the 2023 WNBA draft, both from New York, and Tasha Harris from Dallas. Dallas gets Natasha Howard and reserves rights to Crystal Dangerfield from the New York Liberty. So because Connecticut is also getting the New York Liberty's pick this year, and they got rid of their star player, which I believe it was requested by Jonquel Jones.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, so that all, to me, leans towards rebuilding.
Yeah, it definitely seems like they are headed that way. One thing I thought was interesting in the article, and this is just sort of like a learning thing.
Too much sugar in this iced coffee.
Fair. If there was a way to remove sugar, I mean, I'd tell you.
You can, but it's like, I didn't know how to do just like a half sugar on the app.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's fine. I substituted for milk instead of the heavy cream they use, so I feel better about that.
Yeah, you know, baby steps.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, sorry. As we're saying.
baby steps, New York Jets. I think the Jonquel Jones thing, what's interesting to me too is that we're, you know, I guess newer students of the league, and an MVP changing teams upon request is something that I feel like they in the article we saw has only happened a couple times. It's happened in free agency, but like, you know, Tina Charles also asked for a trade, also from the Sun and also to the Liberty. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be a blow for Sun fans. And I mean, yeah, the combo of like Kurt Miller out, Jones out, it's weird to me that they made it to the final and they've just seemingly decided to like punt.
I agree.
I don't quite like, you know, I think you were the first person I heard say that like it's the Aces League for a while. And I think that's very fair. But I don't know. I feel like the Sun were a closer competitor. We'll see what New York does. The Sun were a closer competitor than basically any other team, especially with, you know, Bird leaving Seattle and, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, I guess maybe that's part of the logic, right? Maybe they're like, yeah, the Aces are too good. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I even when I did say that, I certainly wasn't expecting a Suns rebuild. And also that very much was dependent on what happens in free agency. Because I said, you know, if Brianna does sign with New York, you know, now they're a contender. But it's going to take a move like that for another team, I think, to truly rival the Aces. Because, you know, I'm just looking around at the league. Like, I mean, even if Chicago stays intact, you know, they'll definitely be in the mix. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just feel like the Aces are just they're just younger and faster, frankly, like when you look at a 5-game series. So, you know, now that Jonquel is with the Liberty, I would already put them as a contender. But there's still a world where they sign Breonna Stewart in addition to this,
which is full super team mode. They have the space.
That is full super team mode. And I think I'm gonna get ahead of myself here because I wanted to talk about Breonna's free agency as well. I mean,
yeah,
is it okay if I segue into that?
No, I feel like we've covered it. Jonquel Jones,
yeah,
going from the Sun is massive. I mean, we didn't really talk about like Dallas in all of this, but it seems like Dallas was sort of like a facilitator. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I think so. And Dallas always is just in the middle for me all the time.
Honestly, right? Like,
I don't know what else to say.
They're
about
a fun
Dallas
team
right
to
now.
Watch. All their games are close. But yeah, like, Dallas is one of the most like, for lack of a better word, like the harder teams to kind of like directionally figure out. Like, I don't like Dallas. I don't understand their plan. But yeah, you know, it's a good time to move on to Stewie.
Okay, so let's talk about Stewie. You know, everyone has her free agency, you know, highly anticipated. In addition to the emojis, which we're also going to talk about.
Yes.
She tweeted that she wants to use, wait, I want to pull up the thing so I have the exact quote in front of me. Oh my God, there's so many articles in front of me. This is what happens when you don't have the coffee. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm pulling it up again here. That she would like to be part of a deal that helps subsidize charter flights for the entire WNBA. That includes contributing her NIL, posts, and production hours to ensure we all travel in a way that prioritizes player health and safety, which ultimately results in a better product. Who's with me? So that's what she tweeted. And this is extremely intentional in that this is going to be a part of her free agency negotiation.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
It's massive. I think, yeah, we'll get to the cryptic tweets in a little bit, but one thing I will say, you know, I like to do this on my other podcast as well. For anyone that's listening, you know, if you don't know what NIL is, I didn't know till recently either. It's just an acronym for name, image, and likeness. So that's a way for Stewie to say, all my non, you know, like on the court earnings, I'm willing to contribute. And I think what was so substantial about there's a lot of substantial things about this, but, you know, other players, Ja Morant from the NBA said, you can count me in. Sue Bird, sent an emoji, you know,
with putting her hand raised.
Like, so this is a big kind of statement from a big player in the league. And then of course, it's tied to Griner, right? So Griner's a massive part of this. She, you know, it's been said by ESPN, she can't travel without security. So she's going to need to fly chartered flights, which then begs the question, if she's on chartered flights, you imagine that it would be weird for her to be on chartered flights and her Mercury teammates to be on,
to not be on those flights,
to not be right. And then it's this whole thing of like, wait, so
now there's preferential treatment.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's sort of like, it feels like there's a snowball that's, you know, starting to you know, gain weight. I don't know. Weird analogy. There's a snowball that's getting bigger down the hill. And also another angle, this is, you know, this is so fun to me because it's just like a million things going on. But another angle to me is the Tsai family who owns the Liberty, and the Brooklyn Nets. They were the ones punished for the chartered flights. Mm-hmm. So, and Joe Tsai offered to, individually facilitate this for the entire league. You know, he's obviously extremely rich as being the owner of Alibaba. So, but yeah, I think there's a lot to read into this. And I think it's a very strategic move by Stewie, and I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, I really like this move by her. A part of me is just like, I hate that she even has to do this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it shouldn't be on her. Like, the onus shouldn't be on her to do this. But I do think it is very strategic of her in a good way to do it. And I think it does put a lot of pressure on the league to sort something out amongst the owners. They shouldn't have to wait until the next, like, CBA with the players' union or anything like that.
Which is, like, a long ways away, so.
Like, yes, exactly, because, you know, it was always unfair, but COVID has really changed things. And the, like you said, the Brittany Griner situation also really, really changes things.
Yeah.
And I think they just need to face this reality for what it is and figure it out. So I think it's good that she's putting pressure on the league now while there's still time for them to sort it out. And also I feel like, you know, whether it ends up being Joe Tsai or what, if you're rich enough to own a franchise like this, you're rich enough to own a plane.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
No, really. Like, that's a fair thing to say.
Like, how are you? How do you have enough money to own a WNBA team, but not a plane?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I feel like, you know, they got to sort it out. They have time. I mean, it's just January now. They have several months to figure it out. And, you know, with having, you know, we talked about having a game in Toronto, and it's like, well, if you want to expand internationally, you're going to need to have more control over your travel.
Big time. As Toronto people, that's a major, I think, block to us having a team.
Yeah.
You know, I think, like, with chartered flights, it's sort of it's a necessity if you're going to be also traveling internationally. Also, I feel like Engelbert was a bit strategic here. I don't know, if she's quoted as saying this or how exactly this came out. Been in all of this, in this article anyways, there's this line here that says the WNBA currently doesn't allow charter flights for its clubs. Commissioner Kathy Engelbert has said it would cost the league $20 million each season for every team to fly privately. So she's put a price on it. And I feel like that to me is deliberate in saying, you want this? We've actually done the math. It's $20 million. So
Ja Morant, you mean?
Yeah, Ja Morant. Like, whoever it is, hey, there's the number. There's the number. It's $20 million.
Yeah, as much as I love Ja Morant and his support for the WNBA, it should not be on Ja Morant.
It's not, for sure. I'm not trying to...
No, of course. I'm not saying you're saying that. I just mean in general.
No, and it's a point worth reminding, though. Like where you're coming from, I feel like, is the key nugget of this. It shouldn't be based on, like, philanthropy, right? to do this. This is like a thing that's going to help the league. It's going to help the players. They're going to be healthier. It will allow for more games in the future. It's just a necessity for this level of league, mm-hmm. right? There's no, I mean, I don't know of another league that is that like is a major league that where the players fly coach and are, you know, I don't know of one. And if there is one, they're probably trying to change to chartered flights. You know, this isn't a scenario where like athletes are asking for too much. Like we're expecting a product for them to put their bodies on the line. And having chartered flights is a huge part of it. The space, they're also, you know, big people. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it definitely it is a thing where the momentum's there. I think there's a path. And to your earlier point, I think the timing's right, you know, and I feel like there is time to make this happen. It would definitely color the season with a positive light if this was a, you know, an announcement before the year started. Like, you know what, this year we're not going to wait till the bargaining agreement. We've negotiated a deal with these, with X amount of parties or whatever, and we're going to charter flights.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. It the more I think about it, the more ludicrous it feels to me that each team just, like, when you buy a team, it should just come with a plane. Like, I just can't get over
that. Totally. No.
It should just come with a plane. Like it should be just in the cost of owning the team. Yeah. But it, you know, I mean,
plus B equals plane.
Look, like, yeah. I think, like, you know, I don't know how people schedule these seasons. You know, I refer to them as the scheduling gods because it just feels very convoluted.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, even in scheduling all of these games, like, I've talked about doing a more baseball style schedule where you have more back to backs with the same team right there. That's fewer flights. You could even, there's a world where you schedule things. So, like, New York and Washington have the same plane. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like there's 12 teams. This season is 4 months long. If you scheduled more back-to-backs and had fewer flights, there's a world where it's like it's 8 planes instead of 12 even. You know what I mean? Just to even get you started. Like, I don't know. Totally. I don't even know if that's true. I don't even know if that's actually realistic, but I'm just putting it out there in that, like, you know, if you really want to make this happen, you could make it happen. I do think doing the more baseball style scheduling would be huge.
But yeah, from an entertainment stake stance, I love it as well. And, you know, to echo your point, I think the means, you know, will be there. And if there's a will, there's a way. And I think there's certainly a will right now, and it's going to take some, for lack of a better word, like cheap owners or people who are, I don't know. It's going to take like someone to like step in front of momentum to stop this right now. And I just really hope that no one does that.
Yeah, I mean, it's at the point now where it's contributed to a lot of negative press for the league. And that alone is a reason why they need to get out from under this.
Yes.
Also, too, it's like, I don't know. It's like there's got to be a way to work in some sponsorship. You know what I mean? Like, they have this huge deal with, like, Google. Like, I don't know. Like, there's just got to be a way to, like, add sponsorship into this situation. You know.
Ask Instagram or something.
Yeah, like, to in order to.
You know what I mean? Like, Instagram
plan. You guys. And then everyone does like these like cute like social media posts on the plane. They would probably hate that, but I mean the players might hate that. But I think I do think they would be open to that if that helped them get to a certain point. You know what I mean? But I don't think ultimately at the end of the day, I don't think Breonna Stewart should have to sell or give away her profits and name and likeness. In order to make this happen. That's just an unfair position to put her in. But yes. I do like that she's putting it out there as a as a negotiation tactic.
Yeah, exactly. And I think she's saying, I'm willing to sacrifice. And, you know, I think it should be noted, you know, in the article as well, that Shanae Igumike, Elena Deladon, Kalea Copper, Laysha Clarendon, Alicia Clark, like a lot of people are jumping on this. So, you know, it's the momentum's there, right? You know, certainly you don't hear any players or coaches advocating against this. And you already have the history of Joe Tsai. You have the history of at least one owner not only being for it, just doing it.
Yeah.
Like being like, you know what? I'm just going to skirt this rule because it's dumb. So I think the fact that you already have like certainly the wealthiest owner in the league saying, I think we should do this. And also when he was fined, he was like, I'll help facilitate this.
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, like, it's not just players, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Aces have a wealthy owner as well.
Yeah.
I think there's a few teams that have wealthy owners. It's just not every single team. So, you know, they have to come together and figure it out. And like I said, even the quote unquote non-wealthy owners are still pretty wealthy.
Yes.
So let's get into these cryptic tweets.
Let's
get into these tweets. What is going on, Stewie? So I'm sure you have all seen Breonna Stewart has done some multiple cryptic tweets, which are just emojis, just a ton of emojis in a row. Everyone's trying to figure out what they are. No one knows for sure, but she is relishing in this free agency. And I love it.
It's entertaining. I love it.
It's very entertaining. I mean, some of them I'm like, I didn't even know that was an emoji.
Yeah. The emoji game is strong. and my interpretation of images and hieroglyphics is weak. But I
hieroglyphics. The hieroglyphics.
Yeah, not the hieroglyphics. Well, I do love, as a society, we started with we started with images.
We started with language, hieroglyphics, and now we're in,
you know? Full circle.
Hot takes. That's fun. That should be part of your stand-up.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, she started off tweeting about, I just had it in front of me and then I clicked away. Here it is. You know, it's like trophy, baby bottle, plane, house, money, basketball. So all of that kind of makes sense, right? Like she wants to win. She is a champion, wants to win another championship.
Sure.
She had a baby last year. She's talking about travel, home, you know, where is she going to live? She obviously cares about her family. She's trying to get the bag. She plays basketball, you know, but now we have a wave. So that could mean, you know, momentum.
Yep.
But then she wrote equals.
Equals is a big part of this.
Equals.
I really like
now we've got a leopard, an alligator or a crocodile, a crane, like a construction crane. That's the one where I'm like, I didn't even know that was an emoji. An electrical plug. Her horoscope. Is that her horoscope sign?
That's the one of all these
that
images
made you think of hieroglyphics.
No, where I'm like, I don't know what that is.
I think it's like, I think it's a horoscope thing. And then she's
purple,
has
look like a prince symbol. Maybe it's not, but
yeah. And then she's got dog paws and a building. I think that's a building, or is it a newspaper?
I can't.
I'm gonna go building.
Tell.
Anyway, is it a building or a newspaper?
Yeah.
Anyway, wild, just wild stuff. We do have another tweet with just a calendar and the spicy chili emoji, you know, which just means free agency is going to be spicy, I guess.
That one's straightforward to me. I see
that one is straightforward.
Spicy season. Let's go. You know?
Yeah. There's another one that's straightforward, which is the storm cloud, the wolf, the building, and the Statue of Liberty, which means she's talking to the storm, the lynx, the mystics, and the liberty.
Yes. Yeah. Which that is really fun. That's a great way to announce
which teams you're talking to.
Yeah, definitely.
Imagine Kevin Durant did that in emojis. People would have lost their mind. But here's another fun one that doesn't make sense to me. Are you ready for this?
This one's nuts.
So we've got the alarm.
Yes.
Like the siren.
The alarm's all good.
Yeah. The purple devil emoji.
Sure. Creating havoc.
Yeah. A juice box.
Need hydration.
Yeah. An ice cube.
More hydration. I don't know.
More hydration. I was going to say that she's ice cold. Like, you know, like you're ice cold. Like
sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You're making moves, you know? Then we have like a pin.
Sharp like as a tack.
Like a yes. Okay.
Stay sharp.
Now we have
this one is nuts to me. Like you can really go a lot of like.
And now we have after that we have the recycling symbol.
Yeah, let's do
the
it again.
Reduce, reuse, recycle symbol.
Yes.
Then we have a flag pole, like drag race flag.
Yeah, like made it to the end.
And then sushi. So she's gonna celebrate with sushi at the end of all of this. That's yeah. The only part that makes sense to me is that she's gonna celebrate with sushi.
And a big, big shout out. I hope I'm pronouncing her out to Sarah Vasile, who wrote this article. Because, yeah, she really went in on this particular tweet. And I feel like her logic sort of makes sense. But it's like you're really having to like she's like, I don't, like when the juice and ice comes up, it's like, OK, but the sushi, apparently Seattle is a big sushi town.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, so
but I feel like a lot of cities are big sushi places.
Yeah, it's a stretch. Like the
but maybe it is more so than other places.
Sushi at Celebration, I think also makes a lot of sense. Like, you know,
I assumed it was at the end of all this. She's going to have sushi.
Yeah.
That's but yeah, the fact that it is a sushi town does make sense because it's a coastal town. Anything that's on an ocean coast, hot tip, has better sushi. Maybe that's not a hot tip. Maybe everyone on planet Earth knew that, but I'm telling you, I spent some time in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and I was like, oh my god, the sushi here is on another level.
My my wife is from South Carolina, and when she first moved to Toronto, she was refusing to have shrimp here. And I didn't understand. And finally, she was like, just think about how far that shrimp has traveled. She's like, I only rock with deveined shrimp. I need fresh shrimp. I'm like, okay. And, you know, going to South Carolina, they got some good shrimp.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
Her
folks live in the Low Country, Beaufort, South Carolina. And yeah, great seafood there. And if you're in Toronto and you're surrounded by lakes, I mean, salmon, sure. But everything else,
not our
trout.
List.
Sure,
I don't know if any of that's coming from the Great Lakes, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if you're eating shrimp and you're in Toronto, baby, that's been in a truck.
Yeah, I just assume all our food's been in a truck.
Fair.
From far away, I don't know. Like you always see these commercials and it's like, I mean, for our American listeners, this will be funny, but like you always see these commercials where it's like, you know, AAA Alberta beef or whatever. Right. So it's like, even the beef's coming all the way from Alberta, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty,
which is really far. The shrimp is closer probably.
Maybe. Listen, we get tomatoes here. Shout out Leamington, Ontario. What's good? Tomato Fest.
Heard of that?
If we have any listeners from Leamington, they just were like, whoa, this is my day. This guy just gave me a shout out.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, we got some fresh
tomatoes.
That's
fantastic. Here. Yeah, we are able to grow a lot of produce here. But anyway.
We grow some stuff, okay?
Yeah, you know, but whatever. Okay, that's a wild that's a wild segue. Anyways, highly entertained by her cryptic tweets. I hope we get a few more before free agency happens. Yeah, wild times. Freddie, I believe that brings us to our Freddie's fun question.
Yes, it does. It's been a fun time so far. And I feel like, you know, I got to end this with Maya Moore has announced that she is officially retiring from the WNBA. One fine day, me and you will watch that doc. But
we should schedule. We need to schedule it. That's our problem. We just haven't scheduled it.
That's right. We got to get it done. You know, I think obviously remarkable career, remarkable talent. Everything she's done off the court with the, I believe it's, is it Jonathan? Yeah, Jonathan Irons. And working on his release is just such a beautiful, amazing story. And she's just an incredible figure. But you know, it made me think about retirement in general. And if you're a public figure, like, how do you do that? There's so many different avenues to announce your retirement. Obviously we saw it with Bird and with Fowles. And it made me think, Catherine, if you were a public figure, mm-hmm. how would you go about retirement?
Okay, this is such a dumb answer. So shout out to our friend Alan Shane Lewis. He got to participate in a contest
on
the court of a Toronto Raptors game. So you know how, like, you know, during, like, in between, like, quarters or at halftime, they do, like, these different contests with people. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's a half court shot or whatever. So in this one, they had different sections on the floor where you, if you make a shot, you earn X number of dollars. Now, Alan is host of the Canadian Baking Show, which is a fantastic show. That's our version of the Great British Bake Off. Mm-hmm. And he's on the court. He's a fantastic, phenomenal basketball player. You know, he has ripped into all of the comedy community here. I'm pretty sure he's dunked on people. He has a video of him dunking on DeMar DeRozan. And in this contest with the big lights, I think Alan only made like one shot or two shots. Poor guy, you know, he bombed out there, but I kept messaging him. I was like, dude, this is still so cool that you got to do this. And he's, you know, he's a comedian. He has a great sense of humor about himself, but I just thought, you know what? I would, if I were to announce my retirement, I'd dim the lights. I'd miss a few shots and I'd be like, I'm done.
Wow. That was a long walk. To slag Alan Shane Lewis,
who I think listens to this pod.
Heads up,
I think he listens to the pod too. If
Catherine's having a bad day and McDonald's is late, buddy, you're getting dragged. Okay, I don't even know. That came from the depths.
I didn't have anything prepared. For this.
You wrong Catherine somehow, and you're getting yours. That's what's happening right now. Alan, I you know, I was rooting for you. My brother Miguel and my sister-in-law Elisa, they're Section 309 of Scotiabank. They filmed you. We're all going for it. We're proud of you. You know, but yeah, I can't believe Catherine looped you into her answer. I'll just say that we're cool. You know what I mean? We're good.
Alan, I love you. Wow. Like, that can't be. Come on, Deadly. That was funny, though.
That was funny. And I think he's going to get the shock of his life when he listens to this podcast.
That shouldn't be my real answer. I'm going to come up with another answer. But
no, that's it. mine is... I mean, it's been done before, but I feel like, hey, in this scenario, I am a public figure. I'm doing it. I want a doc.
You want a whole doc, yeah.
I want a documentary. Follow me around. I'll make it weird. You know what I mean? We'll do like some of that. There's that show everyone's going wild for right now, Paul T. Goldman. Sort of, I'll blur the reality between like, is this real? Is this not? Well, I'll make sure it's dramatic as hell. So I won't go.
Wait, what do you mean you'll blur the line between if it's real or if it isn't real?
Well, I'll actually be retiring, but I'll like set up scenarios that are sort of scripted, right? So it's like, you know, we'll be doing something and be like, oh, this is what I do every day, but it's not. It's set up. It's set up for camera. Like I'm not just like being myself. Like I'm doing it for the sake of entertainment. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to mess with people. I'm going to make this a piece of art.
Okay, I like that. It's very, like, Weird Al of you.
Thank you.
That's, yeah, that's, I mean that.
Highest order of compliment for me.
Yeah, it is, and I mean, I definitely mean it that way. I haven't seen his biopic, but he came out with a biopic earlier this year. Daniel Radcliffe plays Weird Al, and apparently the movie is like it's mocking other biopics.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So it's not a straightforward, earnest. Which makes sense for him, because that's what that would be. And I'm surprised it didn't get more attention, because I think that's such a funny and unique idea. But I saw that it was at TIFF earlier this year, but I haven't actually seen the film.
Yeah, mine maybe would be like mocking retirement docs. So like everywhere I go,
so it's mocking
cares.
The Last Dance and stuff
that's
like that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like I'll just portray myself as like the greatest person that ever lived. And
that's so fun.
Everyone that gets interviewed about me, like, they don't even really know who I am.
All right. Well, now I feel especially like a bad person.
Hey, don't worry. I'm talking about trolling the entire general public. You just trolled one person. So
why did both our answers involve trolling people? That's our retirement announcement.
It's the vibe, you know. It's the vibe of the day.
I also thought it would be fun. It is the vibe of the day. I also thought it would be funny to do like a fake proposal.
Okay, this is good.
But then it's like, but then I say no.
That's
and
amazing.
then it's like, actually I'm retiring.
Like you convince Alan to propose to you.
Not
Alan.
Yeah,
you say no to him. Great.
I was thinking it would be like the mascot proposes to me they're not going to reveal themselves. That would be so crazy.
Okay, this is getting good.
That would be so crazy. No, I don't know. I have to keep it as is. Alan Shane Lewis is a great basketball player and he needs another chance on that court.
Yeah, we got to start that campaign. Like, he's got to be the first person who comes back.
Yeah, he's got. Yeah, he needs. Yeah, he needs a round two. He needs a round two for sure. Okay, Freddie, that's been our episode. It's a long one today, but there was just so much going on.
Action packed.
Both in the WNBA and just in my life. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. I apologize for being just so out of it today, but I hope this was a fun ride for all of you to tune into. 40th episode.
We did it. We're 40.
We're 40. So we'll be back, you know, every other week. I mean, unless like free agency is just so crazy, we're like, we got to get on the horn right now. Mm-hmm. That's possible. We haven't discussed that. I just thought of that right now in this outro, but we'll figure that out. Super excited to see where Stewie's going to end up and everything else. So thank you again. Super appreciate it. And we'll catch you next time.
See you later.
Bye.